Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarky. We've got some encore of the music. I like it, baby. Let's roll. Let's go. Queenslanders, welcome to every Queenslander. And unfortunately, a welcome to everyone south of the border. We are here for our Origin special, our final Origin special for 2023. Going to be with you for the next 40 minutes to an hour to preview everything Game 3, State of Origin, best bets and more. Before we get to all that and more, let me welcome in the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour. Winnie, how are you going, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I'm wearing my Finns kit because I couldn't let you off that easily. You tried to get an early mark on Sunday, so you didn't get to face the music there.
Connection
so I'm happy,
issues.
Especially not just 2-0 in the Winnie Clarkey Cup, but off maybe our best weekend of the year when we went 2-0 in the best bets. We won a mixed matchup. That's 3 weeks in a row. You won both your all or nothing picks. You have to win it. It's all or nothing, but you did that. Rolls to next week. We won our SGM, another one. I think we've won. We're winning like nearly every third week or something. Or yeah, every third or fourth week, but average odds over $7. This case, it was $5.25. And then we won a bonus multi six-third, $6.63 odds. A couple other bonus value picks that don't even count towards our stats. You know what else, mate? You don't even know this yet, but I've got a best bet for Origin 3. And I just decided I want to share it off the top. You happy with that?
Mate, go ahead. What have we got?
And as I say that, I'm now searching for the graphic. Let me see if I can just bring it up. But in the meantime, I am going to tell you guys my best bet is New South Wales +4. And that's a mechanical +4 at $1.84. And how you're going to achieve that bet is by putting in 94% of your stake. So the majority, vast majority of your stake on New South Wales +2.5 at $1.96 on Sportsbet. And we win if the Blues cover that line. But we will get our money back if Queensland wins by exactly 4 by putting 6% of whatever your best bet stake is on Queensland by 4, which is $17 on 365. We're going to spend the whole show talking about why I like this pick, but just off the top real briefly, I think the weaknesses of New South Wales have been well and truly pointed out and recognised and potentially overstated by this point. I think home ground is really important. Desperation to avoid 0-3 trumps the will to win 3-0. Walsh is a really big loss for Queensland. New South Wales have made some questionable changes. I know we're going to get into that, but I don't think they're all negative. And I don't think New South Wales were terrible in the first couple of games when you consider how close they were to winning game one. And the fact that Queensland was immaculate in game two. If the Maroons can replicate what they did at Suncorp, then the tip I just shared probably doesn't win. But every game is a whole new event, and I'm picking the Blues will avoid the sweep, in fact. So had to go +4 as a best bet, Clarkie.
I don't hate it because typically Origin games are mostly a coin flip. It really is. You know, we've seen Maroons win as massive underdogs. We've seen the Blues win in the era where Maroons won 8 in a row. And so I just do believe almost every game is a coin flip when it comes to State of Origin. So not a bad one at all. I'm sure our sharp punters will gobble that one up. A simple man like myself goes right over my head. But let's jump into the team list reactions. For Queensland, Reece Walsh is out. AJ Brimson is in. Thomas Flegler out. Corey Horsburgh in. For New South Wales, please don't click away, guys. Stay with me. Turbo out. Bradman Best in. Luai out. Cody Walker in. Junior Polo out. Jake Trbojevic in. Haas out. Regan Campbell-Gillard in. Hudson Young out. Keon Kolomatangi in. Murray starts. Yo goes to the bench. Uto Ikemanu has been rested. Can you believe it? The first man to get rested from an Origin after only playing 12 minutes. For Jacob Saifiti, Robson starts, Cook's on the bench. Frizzell is out, also replaced by Clinton Gutherson, who is coming off the interchange. Plenty to discuss here, Winnie, particularly around the Blues side. So let's start there. I want to know your favorite change for the Blues and your least favorite, please.
So, mate, my favourite change for the Blues would have to be moving Murray to lock. I absolutely would have had him there in game two, but clearly he was hampered. He only played 30 minutes in the second half of that game, and he could barely train leading up to that one. But now Cam Murray has played a whale of a game in New Zealand and then had 12 days to recover for this one. So I have to believe he's going to be ready, and he's a club captain, a player that leads from the front. He's going to be part of the Blues for many years to come, no matter what happens tomorrow night. But it still could be a really big game for his career because it's a chance to grab that starting 13 jersey for the Blues. He's done jobs from before wherever he's been deployed, particularly on an edge. But this is his natural position. And with the Blues missing Payne Haas, I look to Murray to find his front and lay the platform for New South Wales attack as much as anyone. He's got Walker to link in with. That would be another good option. But I'm going to shout out another Rabideau that's new to the side and new to the arena in Big Keon. I think he's going to show he belongs.
Well, I'm going two Rabideaus as well, but I'm going to go Walker and Murray, both South boys starting in this one. Rabideaus have 80 tries this year. That's the most of any club. And I feel that the attacking prowess these two possess is a big reason for that. Murray in the middle, generating that quick play the ball and allowing Cody Walker time and space to play what's in front of him. And when he does that, we know he's one of the most instinctual players we've ever seen. My least favorite, I'm going with Clint Gutherson. I'm not quite sure how he fits into this side, particularly off the bench. And Brad Fittler's not either. He admitted himself he does not have a plan for Gutherson yet. I feel Gutho's best footy has always played over 80 minutes. His best attribute is his fitness. He stays in the contest. He tries hard for 80 minutes. And eventually when the opportunities come and the defenders fatigue, Gutho is able to create opportunities. My gut feeling says, Winnie, the two reserves in Spencer Lanoue and Scott Drinkwater are probably better options than Gutho. Drinkwater offers more attack. He's played halves more recently than Gutho. And Spencer, we know what he offers off the bench as well. And I do think they might be missing a middle forward there. So that's my favorite and my least favorite. Maroons are a bit more simple.
I actually didn't give you least, so I'll piggyback on that while we're talking Blues.
Sorry, my apologies, mate. Jump in.
I mean, maybe it's keeping Tedesco, because I did go back to before game one, I said I wouldn't have picked Teddy as captain this year. No disrespect, but I think your captain has to be undroppable. And New South Wales snookered themselves when you couldn't realistically drop your captain. It would be cool to see the likes of Dylan Edwards get a chance here, or even Drinkwater on form playing fullback. So that's something I didn't love, but I understand it. I still think Teddy will play well. In fact, it's not enough to steer me off backing the Blues in this game. And I'm kind of with you there with the props. I don't know how Saifidi's picked over Junior Paolo, Spencer Lenu or Stefano Turkamanu, to be honest. And then I would add Matty Burton in this team. I would have probably had him at left center. He was there in game 2 and 3 last year. He was 18th man in the previous two games. So he's been in camp, but somehow he's been leapfrogged by Bradman Best. And I feel like Burton, if you weren't going to pick him left center, you could still pick him on the bench, probably ahead of Gutho, because he could play anywhere from, I'd say, obviously fullback, centers, halves, even 13 at a pinch. And you know, if you lose a winger, you put Burton in the centers, you shift someone like Crichton out there. He's a bigger body. So that's probably the most questionable New South Wales selections for me.
Yeah, I think like Jacob Saifidi, his twin brother Daniel's probably in better form this year, which does make it a bit strange as well. Like literally his twin, you know, genetically the exact same and in better form, makes you wonder. But I guess that is largely offset by the fact they do have the Australian front row there in Jake Trbojevic and Regan Campbell-Gillard, a World Cup winning front row, if you will. We'll go to the Maroons, a bit more simple and you'd say more logical changes. Their hand wasn't as forced though at the same time as well. So let me ask you more simply in this one, what are you expecting from AJ Brimson in his return to Origin, and what are you expecting from Corey Horsbrough in debut?
So this is harsh. I'm not expecting a lot from Brimson. I've always really rated him, and I was one of the first people saying, hey, this Brimson guy's really good. In 2020, I was saying, like, enough of this Moses and Bayer playing in the Queensland back line. Brimson needs to play for Queensland. We're that thin. And Brimson did play for Queensland in 2020. Played a big hand in winning the opening game of that series before he got injured. He's had a few in line in front of him since then. But I just don't think he's necessarily a guy that's going to dominate on this level. So I will say what I look for from Brimson is more consistency. He's a good organizer, hell of a motor. So he'll be everywhere. He'll support. But he's just not as silky or electric as Reece Walsh. On a positive note, maybe less errors and less temperamental, less fiery than Reece. As for the horse, well, he is all fire and brimstone, and he's might not play too many minutes, but I've no doubt he will rip in.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm really excited for Brimson. I think he doesn't have as much natural talent as Reece Walsh, but you know he's going to try hard for the full 80 minutes. And I just get the feeling, being in camp with Billy Slater, one of the greatest, if not the greatest fullback of all time in game two, and now game three, we're starting to get around a month of solid footy there where he's directly under Billy Slater learning, and that will only make him more and more dangerous as the games go on. Corey Horsbrough speaks for himself, a firebrand player that isn't afraid of creeping right up to the line and sometimes almost overstepping the line. You know, there's not many players that give the finger to the opposition fans whilst he's coming off the field injured because he just wants to stay out there and rip in so badly. But Corey is that sort of player. He is all passion. Really excited for his debut. The only thing that can make me more excited, Winnie, is if Spencer Lanoue was on that bench as well, and we saw them both coming off at the same time. Oh my God, that would be that's a mouth-watering battle right there. But let's jump into our game prediction. The Maroons are our favorites. Their line is -3.5. Queensland, game one, they win 26-18 in Adelaide. Game two, they win 32-6 in Suncorp. Much more dominant fashion, you would say. So with a 3.5-point line, series is already with Queensland. This game, we are back in Sydney at Accor Stadium. I want to get your thoughts on how this one pans out. You're leaning with the Blues, it seems.
Yeah, and I'm going to dive into that. I'm also going to put some graphics up on the screen that is all the current stats of every category you could imagine from the first two games. But before we predict the game, let's have a listen to how the markets for this one and the overall series are shaping up, thanks to our show sponsor, TopSport.
G'day everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport, and we go to the last game of the Origin series where Queensland's trying to get the whitewash, as we all know, and New South Wales obviously playing for a little bit of pride. We've seen the market move very, very steadily towards Queensland. We opened at $1.82 and it moved into $1.65 Queensland, $2.25 New South Wales, got to 3.5, but there has just been a little bit of a pushback for New South Wales in the last 24 hours. We're back to $2.20, $1.67 and 2.5 is the line. I think it'll probably stay around about there. The totals are a little bit higher than we saw in the first two games, up to 41.5. Just having a look at a couple of the other markets, which are always key for Origin. Man of the match or player of the match is a very even betting, where Munster, the 750 favourite. Tedesco, despite his recent slump, he's at $8 second pick. You'd think if he has a half-decent game for New South Wales, he might be hard to toss there. He's been the best backed as well. Someone had 3,000 on him at $8.50. So that's our biggest liability by a fair way in the game. Mitch Moses has been very, very well backed, $12 into 10 as well. So Cody Walker, Moses, $10. Cherry Evans and Brimson, 12 and 14 respectively. Just having a look at the series betting, we're in a bit of trouble. Whatever happens in this game, our liabilities are for 2-1 Queensland, 3-0 Queensland. So we're not getting out of that one. But the Wally Lewis medal, we're to the same punter. He actually backed Teddy in the Wally Lewis medal at the start of the event. So I don't see that one coming off. But it is a very, very even market away from that, with DCE, Cotter, Collins and Munster all between the $4 and $4.40 quotes. So looking forward to the game on Wednesday night. Hopefully we get a good high quality affair, and as always, go Queensland. Gamble responsibly. Thanks.
Love from Tristan there. I missed the big bet there. I was scanning the comments. Did you catch that one?
He said, I think it was $3,000 on Teddy, man of the match, at $8.50.
Yeah, okay. Rip that ticket up now. Oh, for this so game, sorry. Don't
be sentimental. For this game. Yeah, and we are going to talk man of the match, and we're going to talk Wally Lewis. And as you can see, just different stats for the series are scrolling. As we talk about how we see this game, and I will say straight off the bat, it's a tough one to tip, I think even more so than one or two, because you knew everyone was all in, everyone was fully focused through their camps. The truth of the matter is now the series is decided. And while we can keep saying no one wants to lose 3-0, and it is an opportunity to achieve a rare feat for Queensland, so there's certainly plenty to play for, and I can't wait for the game. But Queensland's not in front of their adoring fans, and you have to feel there would have been a naturally lighter mood in the Maroons camp. So I just wonder, can Billy psychologically get his team defending with absolute desperation the way they have so far in this series, which has been a hallmark of their success? And then for the Blues, well, they are at home, and so they should be fighting hard, and each individual should be fighting hard for spots because there's so much up in the air. But how's their confidence in this playing group? Collectively, do they really believe they can overcome the Maroons at this point? I'm not certain they do. And do they have any kind of job security or kind of sense of the future or what the plan is? Because I'm not sure if the Blues coach has all the answers. But basically, boiling it down, I say I'm questioning Queensland's determination just relative to one and two, and I'm questioning New South Wales' confidence and cohesion. How do you see this one playing out before I kind of wrap up more reasons why I have gone the Blues plus the 4 points?
Yeah, I guess just to respond to that, for the Blues, you know, I think subconsciously in the back of their minds, the players would have to know we probably will have a new coach next year. So how does that influence how they play? Do they come in absolutely locked and dialed, thinking, well, we need to win this to secure Freddie's future? Or do they have one eye to the future and potentially overplay their hand by trying a bit too hard to secure their position in the future. There's definitely question marks over both sides. That's my question mark for the Blues. For the Maroons, I basically share the same as you. We know it's so hard to whitewash an Origin. I've got all those stats, which I'll get into shortly, but history shows it's so difficult to do, and you just think that some of the greatest sides in history have not been able to do it because that motivation factor is missing, having already wrapped up the series. In this case, they'll also be in enemy territory. So I share the same question marks with you over both sides, really.
Well, yeah, so let me... And I've also got some stats about whitewashes as well. So first of all, we know Queensland's not only won the first two games, but covered both of them, and they were the right side to back. We did tip them in both of those games. And the biggest edge of all is what I led the game one preview with, and we led the game two preview with it as well. And it was the coaching gap, despite the fact that Billy Slater came into this with basically three professional games worth of coaching experience. And Freddie had been in the job for five full series. And you know, Freddie's coached other campaigns like international level. We still raise that could be a big edge to Queensland. And now everybody knows that. I mean, Billy Slater has looked like such a genius that you could probably put him in charge of the Tigers and he'd find a way to win the premiership. Whereas if you had Freddie in charge of the Panthers, and let's be honest, he's been the Blues coach for 6 years, so he basically has been the Panthers coach. I mean, would he make the eight? That's how many questions there are about Freddie's acumen at this point. And so now everyone's talking about how New South Wales needs a change. That's fine. Everyone's talking about it now. Everyone understands that now. We said it before a ball was kicked. Now it's public knowledge. It's built into the line where it wasn't 2 games ago. So that's where you get New South Wales 3.5 point underdogs at home. I think it's possibly the pendulum swung too far. So from a betting perspective, despite the fact I am a proud Queenslander, I think New South Wales is going to pinch this game. You heard me share the best bet. If you want a score prediction, I'm going to go Blues 24-22. How about you, Clarkie? Did you give a score prediction, or what other kind of things you see playing out in this one?
Haven't got an exact score prediction, but I'll tell you what, I'll run through some of my notes, and please feel free to jump in any time, because we both got the same sort of view on the whitewash here. No doubt I expect a high scoring contest from the Blues here. And so from a man of the match perspective, that we'll get to that in a bit, but it does make me lean more towards outside backs and spine players as opposed to forwards. When I said, I think Queensland will win by close margins, and we saw it was Collins and it was in game one, it was Cotter, of course. But the question mark is, can this lineup come together and gel quick enough? And can they ice opportunities? Because for the Blues, let's not be mistaken here. We're seeing the stats roll across the screen right now. In every area you want to be winning statistically this year, the Blues are. They just haven't been able to really ice those opportunities. And it's a new halves pairing for them again. So there is a question mark there as to whether that's a positive or a negative. What I don't want to do here, Winnie, is tip New South Wales and then my Maroons win whitewash. And I feel like a bit of a fraud supporter. But I've got to agree with you. My head here absolutely does go to the Blues. It goes that way because Origin is 41 years old and we've only ever seen 7 whitewashes. So that's a 17% chance of a whitewash throughout history. The Maroons' last whitewash was in 2010 in the midst of their 8-year reign over State of Origin. For the Blues, we go back to 2000. I just think, given it's been over 13 years and the best Origin side of all time could only clean sweep once in a period of 10 years where they won 9 series and dropped one shocking series where they were missing Cooper Cronk, their main halfback, I just wonder, can it be done? I just have to have that question mark. Can it actually be done here? Therefore, I am thinking, as unlikely as it sounds, New South Wales get the win here, just going off the Origin history, which is so rich in nature. It's the pinnacle of our game. It's difficult to do. The Blues themselves, they've not shown me anything this series where I'm sitting here and going, yep, I got to tip them. They're good to go here. I think they've got the weaker lineup. I think they've got weaker coaching. And I think we have more informed players as a Queenslander. But I just can't go past the historical stats here, Winnie. The whitewashes are really, really, really tough and rare. Only the greatest sides ever pull it off. This Queensland side could go on to become one of those sides, but you probably can't say they are yet, having only won 2 series in a row. So absolutely, my heart says Queensland. I hope this side can create their own piece of history. But if you want my official tip, I'm going to go the Blues 2-6. I think it'll be higher scoring. I think the Maroons can match the points. But I think the Blues will just find a way to come out on top, whether it's via a try via a penalty goal. I think they'll find some way to get home. Do you share that same viewpoint in terms of it being super close like that?
Yeah, and when you say 2-6, that's a winning margin, not a final score, of course. And yeah, and I said 24-22, so that would be the Blues by 2 points. And just to back up exactly what you said there, I actually noted this isn't a reason that Queensland doesn't win tomorrow. I just find it interesting. It is certainly true, though, how hard it is to achieve a whitewash. And let's actually examine that team that did it 13 years ago. They've got some players, people might recognize some of these names. Billy Slater, Greg Inglis, Israel Folau, Darren Lockyer, John Thurston, Cameron Smith, Matt Scott, Petro Sivanisiva, Sam Thaiday, Nate Miles. Like you said, it may be the greatest Origin team ever when you talk about all those players historically, you know, some of the best ever at their position, not the best. And you said it. You said 8 year. Well, they did win 8 in a row in that span. And then you said 9 out of 10. Let's not get it twisted. 11 out of 12. It was really a. Said, and I kind of echo your point there. This crop, certainly some of these guys are going to have special careers, but they are not on that level. And history has showed us how good you have to be to whitewash, given how infrequently it has occurred. And maybe I even push back on something else you said there about New South Wales having the weakest squad. I just don't know. I think that Billy's gotten so much more out of his troops than what the Blues have. But I still think on paper, New South Wales matches up pretty well. Like I think Teddy will win the fullback battle, which he has not won in the first two games. But I think he outplays Brimson. I think Mitch Moses is going to outplay DCE. I thought Moses actually applied himself pretty well in game two, just behind a beaten pack and trying to get through basically a brick wall, which was the Maroons' defence. You know, Munster is probably Queensland's best player, but I think Cody Walker, the form he's in, can match him. You could also say Carrigan might be Queensland's best player, but I think Cam Murray can give as good as he gets there. If Damien Cook's ever going to excel at 9, surely it's a game like this with so many key Rabbitohs players in key positions. So I guess you look to the forward pack, which has been outclassed, the Blues have, by the Maroons the first two games. I will just factor in the hunger to not be swept and the home ground for the first time this series could level that battle up as well, allowing the opportunity for the upset here, which is what I've predicted.
And I want to roll through the stats quickly of game two, because the Maroons won 32-6. That's a big margin. Now, they did win completion rate, 84-73%. The Blues still had more runs, more run meters, more post-contact meters, more tackle breaks, which of course means the Maroons had missed more tackles. Every single stat here, they had a higher effective tackle percentage, the same amount of errors, and the Maroons conceded 8 penalties to the Blues too. So a lot did go right for the Blues in game two via those stats, but they just didn't ice the opportunities. And that's when, as you say, with Mitchell Moses, I suppose, second game now does have a new halves partner, which could be of some hindrance, but certainly there's a big opportunity that if they can produce those same stats or improve on them and just ice some of the opportunities, the game doesn't kind of get away from them where they're looking at the scoreboard and it's 24-6 and they're starting to think, well, we're pretty out of this. You know, they can be scoring those tries and keeping that belief throughout. So yeah, my final prediction, unfortunately, please no one clip this if the Maroons win. It's the Blues to win by a margin of 2-6 points. Anything further, or should we move on to our game MVP and Wally Lewis medalist?
No, let's do man of the match next, mate.
Perfect. Let me run you through my current Wally Lewis leader medal board. Now, it's still, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's still awarded as if it's a Dalian medal where each game you get a 3-2-1, which I don't really like.
I believe that's right, but there's more than one voter. As far as I understand, there's multiple people voting 3-2-1, and that does make it more interesting because they wouldn't necessarily all give out the same votes or even necessarily all have picked the same man of the match.
Yeah, so it's still the 3-2-1s, but what I think, Winnie, and I don't want to go too far off track, so I'll be very brief here. Every player should get scored out of 10, I believe. It's the pinnacle. We've got to have enough people score every player out of 10, and that way we know at the end who truly was the MVP. And I've got on 3 points, Ruben, Cotter and DCE. On 2 points, I've got Carrigan and Collins. And on 1 point, I've got Hammer and Walsh. So I'll go further into my pick in a moment, but let me cross over to you for your MVP for this game. And then ultimately your Wally Lewis medalist, please.
Yep. So for this game, I'm just going to back up my Blues prediction. I'm going to have 3 shots in at various odds. And in fact, I've got a graphic so people can find these picks as well. Has that one come up? I will quickly search and see if...
Awesome.
Yeah, I do have it here. So Mitch Moses, who I did say would be a good shot in game two if you like the Blues, and I think he was 11s, and now you've got the Blues are less of an underdog. So I think at $10, Mitch Moses available, Toppy, Better, and Dabble. In fact, all three of my picks were available at the best odds on Dabble there, so you could copy them off me. I've already backed these, but Moses at $10. Cam Murray, 21. I made the case for Murray before, so I really like that. That's available, Dabble and Sportsbet. And for my extra long shot, Kaloa Matangi, you kind of think Liam Martin was close to probably man of the match in game one if New South Wales holds on. So maybe, you know, a back rower can win it. Well, Cotter won it playing back row for the winning team. So $51, not crazy as well for the man on debut.
No, it's big odds there. Not bad at all. I'll tell you what, I go to my leaderboard. Hammer is, I've got him on one. We can rule out Walsh with him not being there. So Hammer would need 3 points to climb to the top. But then that's assuming no one else under him scores points. So I almost do disinclude the Hammer, not include him, even though he has been great. Firmly in the picture, I've got Cotter, DCE, Carrigan, and Collins. Carrigan was my preseason pick for the Wally Lewis medal. And I'd have to think Collins is a smoky. I don't think he'll score a 3-2-1 in game one. But he did have that brilliant moment against Teddy Wright at the end. So maybe he could there. And I think a lot of people will have him for the 3 points in game two. So he's definitely an option. As for the Wally Lewis medal, though, I'll stick with my preseason pick in Patrick Carrigan because I think he is close enough there on 2 points. He would only need a 2-point effort here to potentially jump into first there and win. It's the right thing to do to stick with him. If you ask me right now who's my absolute favorite, if I had a gun to my head, you must pick the Wally Lewis medalist, I'll go Cotter because he's got that 1-point buffer in my mind with his game one performance. And I think that he will have another strong game in this one. Smokey, Lindsay Collins. But that's all just unofficial picks. I'll stick with my main one, Patrick Carrigan. As for my Game 3 MVP, as I said, I do expect the Blues to score more points. So I'm going to go Cody Walker. I don't think he'll be too popular. Correct me if I'm wrong, everyone in the comments, if you guys are favouring him. But I just think he's been here before and failed. And at this point, he's got nothing to lose. He's older. We know he can be an all-or-nothing player. But when he's on, he's unstoppable. It's as simple as that. And if this Blues forward pack comes out, takes it personal on their home turf, wins the middle momentum and gets Cody Walker some early ball, I can tell you what, players like Josh Adokar are going to score. Bradman Best is awesome and he's got a great offload with early ball to Bradman Best from Cody Walker. He can score. And so I can see Cody Walker having at least two tries in this one and having his hand in a little bit of everything. So I'll go him for my Game 3 MVP. But I will stick with Carrigan as my outright series winner.
So if people like Walker, he's actually also $10, same price as Moses. So I could definitely see that. The thing is, if the Blues win this game, as we are both regrettably predicting, he's the most obvious change. Like Moses was there in game two. So you could kind of say, well, you look what happened when you brought Cody Walker in, they won. So if like Moses and Walker had played similar level games, I could see the narrative going to Walker. But I favoured Moses because of his importance with, you know, the kicking game, goal kicking as well. But you couldn't go wrong. I think either player will give you a good run for your money. Certainly, if you like or if you agree with our line of thinking that the Blues may actually pull the upset here. So going back to my Wally Lewis thoughts, because it is really interesting and complicated. So you could go 3-2-1 on each of the games. You'd have to kind of guess who got the votes. And I'm thinking similarly to you. But because there's multiple people that voted, it makes it even more complicated. For what it's worth, you liked Carrigan and you considered him one of the best chances and Collins a smoky. But it should be noted, Collins is $4 along with DC, Munster and Cotter. Carrigan's like $10 or $11. So the market wow. sees Carrigan as a much longer shot. So let's look at those longer shots. So could Carrigan win this? I think so, but I really think he'd have to probably be just MVP. About win man of the match, yeah, in game three. And I'd say the same for the Hammer. If he was man of the match tomorrow, or even Val Holmes, I think could have had a vote or two in there. And so if he got man of the match, but if you need to win man of the match to win man of the series, you're a longer shot, right? So if we just say, well, I can't pick like a longer shot because the probability is low. So I'm looking at the four favorites. I'm going to rule out Lindsay Collins because when I look back at game one, I know he had the signature moment or he had the highlight moment, but in game one, I thought clearly you had Cotter, Carrigan, DCE, Munster, Hammer, would have all been more likely to get votes ahead of Collins. So rule him out. And I'm not going to rule out Munster too. Munster might be Queensland's best player, but I don't think he's been far enough up, high enough up in the, I guess, on the podium to poll in games one and two. So he's another guy that might need to be man of the match here to get it. But if he needs to be man of the match, just back in for man of the match, you get better odds than Munster for the Wally. So that leaves two players. So I'm going to kind of sit on the fence and I'm going to say Cotter has his nose in front of everyone. I agree with you. If New South Wales wins, as we've predicted, I think Cotter keeps his nose in front, hangs on and wins it. However, I think the sentimental pick is DCE. He has captained three of the last four. No, is that right? Three of the last four series? Yes, that's right. Three of the last four victorious series. And he has the signature moment, the chase down of Crichton. I think the voters are going to want to give it to DCE. And if the Maroons win this, I think he'll poll and maybe get in front. And in fact, if you like Queensland to win, and I saw a comment there before, DCE, a few people reckon, well, Hamish says DCE is a lock. $5 DCE is on Dabble. We do have a sign-up code for Dabble too. It is just tripod. That was the best I could see for DCE in kind of, yeah, four-horse race with some longer shots.
It's a very complicated race. As you said, it's not as simple as keeping 3-2-1s. Even the Dally M medal is more simple. There's only two voters. There's multiple voters in this. Players, I believe it's former Origin players from both states. So
right.
You don't know how they're looking at this game. You know,
Hey, sorry. Disregard everything I said. Ask me again who should win the Wally Lewis medal.
Who should win the Wally Lewis medal?
Billy Slater. Sorry, someone had to make that joke and I completely forgot.
And that's
to.
The thing. These players that are voting do have inbuilt inbuilt bias for their picks, right? And it could be subconscious, but we've seen
because Slater won it. I'll actually make the argument that Slater has done more to help the winning team this year and actually deserves the Wally Lewis medal this year more than when he won it in 2018. And I think Laurie Daly was on the panel, I believe Mal, and it was another Queenslander too. And they bullied Laurie out of that. And I know Freddie was pretty annoyed. And I think everyone was kind of annoyed that Billy was given that. I mean, he played two games and it was on the losing side. And I know they've revamped the system since then and they've added more discretionary measures where if it's even close, they can like come together and discuss who they think is the right pick. And those are the kind of measures that I think tilts it into DCE's favour potentially.
That Billy Slater pick is up there with the all-time bad ones, like David Warner for that in his last Test cricket series here in Australia. Scored 1-200, but horrible outside of that, somehow wins it. It was the same for Billy. He won one game that series, and Tedesco, the opposition fullback, was better than him every single area statistically. Great question coming through here from Jerry Piper. Can the Wally Lewis medal be shared? Not to my knowledge. I don't believe we've ever seen a dual
winner. No, that's where I believe even if it's split, even if it's equal votes, they like re-vote it. And I think there's like three of them or something so that they can, you know, find a winner.
I go back to the 2021 series for that one with Turbo and Latrell. You couldn't split them. They were both so dominant. I had Latrell slightly ahead. I remember posting on my page that he's won the medal by my count. Moments later, Tom gets announced and everyone's calling me an idiot. But it was that close that, you know, you just never know. But let's jump into some try scorers. Everyone always loves the try scorers. Always great options for same game multis, outright bets, whatever you like there. I'm going to have two try scorers again. I had two try scorers for the rest of the series. I'm going to go again here. For Queensland, going to go Hamisai Tabuai-Fido. I think there'll be more points in this game. And if I think there's more points, how could I not go the man who is leading this series in tries so far and has scored in both of his other games? Hammer has really come into his own as an Origin player. You think of the last few series. If we went back to 2021, 2022, if I told you he was marking up against Tom Trbojevic and he was going to be better than Tom, you'd laugh at me, and rightfully so. But he is just on fire recently, so I'm going to offer him as my Queensland try scorer. I went Holmes last game. I'm going back to the other centre, the Hammer. I love him there. As for the Blues, got to go Josh Adokar. I know I tipped him last game and he didn't get the chockies for us, guys, but undoubtedly he will be more dangerous with Cody Walker on his edge. How do I know he'll be more dangerous? Well, the usual winger that plays outside of Cody Walker is currently the fourth all-time NRL leading try scorer in Alex Johnston with 180 tries. That's how I know Adokar is going to be very dangerous. Great finisher, very fast in case he does get that early ball from Cody, and just an all-round quality winger there who requires just one more try to make New South Wales Blues history and become the equal first all-time New South Wales Blues try scorer. You don't need much more motivation with Cody Walker playing inside you there. So they're my two try scorers. Winnie, I want to ask, do you feel strongly about either of those picks or potentially any other try scorers?
I really like each of your picks, one for each state. So what we've done most pods this year is gotten top of the market prices on some anytime try scorers. That's what we did in game one and two. But I kind of felt it was a bit too scattergun approach where we had multiple players that you picked for a try. Then I came up with multiple same game multis and they had different players for a try. So I've kind of combined what you like with how I see the games, still come up with an option for both states. And I've actually built your try scorer tips into my same game multis. And remember, we're hot off winning our same game multi just a round just gone. But before I do share those same gamers, we do have another try scorer tip from a man who's it's his area of expertise and he looks at it from a statistical perspective. That is Nicole from Wiki.
Hey everyone, it's Nicole from Wiki. I'm absolutely pumped for State of Origin tomorrow. Went Nanai last time, anytime try score, and that got up for us. This time I'm going David Fifita at $4 on BetR. If you Google Wiki Linktree, guys, this odds comparison is all in front of you. Has 11 different bookies, 5 different try score markets. You can find the best price. And our Punters Preview, my Origin Preview article and podcast is also there. Just Google Wiki Linktree, you find it all there. And also love Val Holmes against Bradman Best, but the value pick, David Fifita, $4 on BetR.
Cool. It looked like he was traveling there. A bit of a travel pillow behind him. We saw his efforts at the star in game two when Jeremiah Nanai scored right after the pie eating contest with Mark Carroll. But yeah, as Nicole said there, the odds comparison tool, it's powerful, guys. It's on the website there. Compare your odds of what bookies are offering for each try scorer. AI and data, it's a bit of a new and emerging space, but Wiki have been doing it for years. So definitely make sure you check them out. And over to you, Winnie. What have you
got for us? He likes Fifita. So my question, I wonder, will Fifita join Tino at the Bulldogs next year, or is he going to the Raiders? Is he going to the Dragons? We don't know. We could spend another pod answering those questions. I'm sure it has been deep-dived on the Titans Frontline podcast if people want to hear about how some diehard Titans feel about the contract sagas. I've got some SGMs to share here. Is this another one where my graphics have just disappeared? I think I've got it here, right? I think they're both going to come up on the screen at the same time. So Clarkey already told you we like Addo Carr for the Blues, and they are my pick in this game. So I'm going 1-12 because I don't think they'll win big. This same game multi, you could just build yourself on Top Sports. So $7.96. But they are going to hold that price for just another 15 minutes. After that, the price can move with the market. And if a lot of people are getting on that and the liability is building, then that price may not stay the way it is. So if you like Addo Carr into Blues 1-12, like basically $8 is pretty juicy. But if you can't back anyone other than the Maroons and you've been winning, if you've been backing them the first two games, then the Hammer, he's just in that kind of form where he's always near the action. He's a threat to get in behind the line from any kick or support a break or make one himself and make people who are trying to tackle him look foolish. So can't fault your pick there either, Clarkie. And if the Maroons win, then I'll also go 1-12 because I do think New South Wales will take this game down to the wire. And I think we get a really entertaining Origin tomorrow night. I mean, you could even back both of these. I've given out an option for both states in each of the pods so far. And, you know, we count both on our record, even though they can't both win. But no matter what, you know, we think it's a good value bet. We endorse both of them as a good shot.
I'd be tempted to have an each-way bet. I think it'll be a 1-12 game. If you're going to tell me the try scorer that you're picking for the Blues is the second all-time leading try scorer playing outside Walker, I love it. And if you're going to tell me you're going to pick the leading try scorer of this series for the Maroons, I love it as well. So, and just the $7 odds as well. I think that's great value for both of them, realistically. Close game, leads that it should be a 1-12 game on form. We're adding in great try scorer picks there. Sometimes to get $7 odds for same game multis, you've got to build some silly legs in there. Halftime, full-time, multiple try scorers, all sorts of weird stuff. We're keeping it nice and simple for you guys. Our sign-up code for Top Sport is TP Live, and our better sign up link is in the show description now. If you guys want to jump on both of them, Winnie has cooked those up. But whether you are with us live now or listening as a podcast, the information they're about to give is in the description. For free and confidential support, call the number on screen or visit the website That information is also in the description if you are listening as a podcast. Before jumping on any bookie, guys, please stop and think, is this a bet you really want to place? We endorse responsible gambling here, and they are our same game multis, mate. Should be a great Origin series. That pretty much leads us to the end of our show. I'm pretty sure, Winnie, we've gone through our trial scorers, our Wally Lewis medalist. What more could the viewers want? It's been a great show, mate. Thank you very much to all our viewers for being here with us for our final Origin special. We'll be back Thursday, 6:30 p.m. with our round 20 NRL preview. But enjoy your Origin footy, guys. Enjoy the rest of your week. And one last time, thank you very much for being here with us.
Yeah, it's a funny one when I tip New South Wales. I actually don't enjoy those Origins as much because I do feel a bit conflicted. But I have to call it how I see it, guys. And you take our advice and factor that into whatever plays you make. And maybe some people don't even need a pun on Origin because it's that exciting on its own. But however it is, we really hope you guys all enjoy the game. And we'll be back in just under 48 hours now to preview round 20. But enjoy your week until then, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And of course, Lego!